First, it's the 50th anniversary of Earth Day today, a commemoration championed by Wisconsin Senator and environmentalist Gaylord Nelson. Our relationship with nature and the earth is different in this time of the coronavirus pandemic. Our lives and livelihoods are being deeply affected by a virus that has spread across the globe, likely originating in other animals and jumping to humans. On the other hand, many kinds of pollution have decreased drastically because so many billions of people around the world are staying at home, reducing air and motor travel to a fraction of the usual rates. Michael Wasegijig Price is the traditional ecological knowledge specialist at the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission in Odanah, Wisconsin. He is Anishinaabe and a tribal member of Wikwemecon First Nations in Ontario. Michael has a Master of Science in Forestry from the University of Montana and a Certificate of Ojibwe Language Instruction from Bemidji State University. He joins us now for a look at a piece he wrote for Tribal College Journal titled We Must Listen to the Earth. You can find a link to that article at WPR.org/Central Time. Michael, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, miigwech. Thank you for having me on.
What are some of the signs, Michael, you point to that show maybe our relationship with nature being out of balance?
Well, when I first began to hear about the coronavirus and I began to reflect on it, I thought about the words of an elder here from Red Lake Nation in Minnesota. And he wrote these words that were relative to a book that we wrote about animals. And this book was called Awasiensug. And it's written entirely in the Ojibwe language. But one of the things that he wrote in that book, and he wrote it in the acknowledgement section, was this small section, the small phrase that said, Gego bapi nena ma kain awia. Gishpen ejichigayan. Kika bi aje giwain daagon. And what that phrase says in Ojibwe is, don't put down or offend anyone. If you do, it will come back on you. So that was a really strong statement that he made for this book. And it got me to thinking about this coronavirus and thinking about those words, it will come back on you. And so when I think about what happened with this virus, a lot of the studies have suggested that this virus originated at a wet market in Southeast Asia, in Wuhan, China. But it's had an effect on people globally. I think about the interconnectedness of all living beings, not only humans, but animals as well. So that was a line of thought that I had.
In that piece we mentioned in Tribal College Journal, the feeling I got reading it was that you're looking for us to deal with the earth and with nature with more of a sense of, I think, humility is the word that was popping into my mind. Is that a fair way to characterize, mm-hmm. or at least in part, how we relate to the natural world?
Well, one thing our Anishinaabe culture tells us is about relationship, respect, and reciprocity for the natural world. And it's in all of our ceremonies. It's in all of our traditions. It's in our language as well. And so this is the way our culture tells us that we need to perceive and interact with the natural world. And to give you an example, the wild rice harvest season will begin at the end of August, around the 1st of September. So when wild rice harvesters go out to harvest rice, we're pushing the canoe down through the rice bed or knocking the rice into the canoe. Well, there's a certain percentage of the rice that actually falls over the side of the canoe and into the water. A lot of people would regard that as being waste or being careless with the harvest. But a lot of our elders say that that rice that goes over the side of the edge is supposed to happen. And what that does is that it reseeds the rice beds for next year. It provides a food source for wildlife, for waterfowl. And so we want to humble ourselves, and we don't want to get too greedy with the harvest. Otherwise, as that elder stated, that it could come back on us in an adverse way.
You also write about gratitude toward other living things, including animals we might eat. How would we approach that?
Well, speaking for myself, I'm a member of the bear clan, Makwadudem. And in my culture and in my worldview, the bears are actually a close relative. And they're also a teacher to me as well. So I see this particular animal species as being a guide or an educator in my life. And of course, I have a degree in forestry, so I've studied the plants all my life. Well, the bears have taught us about herbal medicines and have taught us about how to forage for medicines in the forest and in the natural world. So that's the kind of relationship that I have to that one particular species.
We're talking to Michael Wasegijig Price from the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission in Odanna, Wisconsin. We're talking about a piece he wrote in the Tribal College Journal titled "We Must Listen to the Earth." And in that piece, Michael, you talk about the food system as it exists in a lot of American culture and around the world, not having that sense of balance or humility or gratitude. What do you see as problems with the way we produce our food, maybe our meat in particular?
Well, I've done some research on this, and if you just look at the way that we produce our food in this country, this country is tasked with feeding millions and millions of people very quickly and very efficiently. And of course, we've established that type of industry around the world. But what ends up happening, these animals, livestock animals like chickens, beef, swine, they all have the same type of emotional landscape that we have. They have feelings of anxiety, of terror, I just feel that these types of emotions are shared not only with us, but with all animals as well. So in many of these industries, I feel that these animals are put through these types of circles. And for us as traditional Anishinaabe people, we try to avoid the suffering of any animal, especially during the hunt. Many young hunters, both young girls and young boys, are taught how to kill a deer with the least amount of suffering. And so we prepare for those types of hunts using ceremony. And then after the kill, we have ceremony after that. And so that helps us to preserve that relationship that we have to the wildlife.
In our last couple minutes, Michael, it is Earth Day, a time when many of us are marking this 50-year tradition. Can you leave us with some thoughts from much older traditions on ways we can reflect on Earth Day and look to the future, even in the midst of this pandemic crisis?
Well, I believe this is from my perspective, reflected on my own traditions and my own teachings, is that this virus has come to us for a reason, and we have to figure out what that reason is. And many times, these types of illness are the indication of imbalance or the indication of something that should not be happening. And so these are some of the reflections I have on this particular virus, but also too, how do we establish reestablish our relationships with the natural world? What can we do differently to make this a more sustainable and vibrant world for all living beings, not just ourselves as human beings, as consumers?
Michael, thanks so much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Ahomiigwech, thank you for having me on.
Michael Wasegijig Price is the Traditional Ecological Knowledge Specialist at the Great Lakes Indian Fish and Wildlife Commission in Odanna, Wisconsin. He joined us today, Earth Day, to talk about his article published in the Tribal College Journal, the title, "We Must Listen to the Earth." You can find a link to that article over at wpr.org/centraltime.